Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I welcome a dear friend and one of our earliest Fitfluential ambassadors, Tasha Edwards. And this show, when we asked what Tasha wanted to talk about coming on the show, we always ask our guests, and then we kind of collaborate and decide together what it is that we're going to talk about, because so many guests can talk about multiple topics. And This is what she wrote. I want to talk about fighting back for happiness when life takes you through hell. And honestly, this is such a fantastic interview because I don't want to give it away what Tasha's been through, but it is significant. And for those of you that have children, you're going to want to tune into this because what Tasha's had to go through and her son is extraordinary. And she talks very real and very raw about how this very traumatic year or couple of years in her life impacted her emotionally. It certainly made an impact on her well-being, her job, her ability to earn a living for her family. It affected her fitness. She gained weight. She had all kinds of issues. How she had to deal with family, how she had to deal with friends, not necessarily acting like friends. Very, very telling and very, very interesting. And yet she has come through it and is still coming through it and is still dealing with it. And is, you know, it takes a lot of courage to share what she's sharing and to be so vulnerable, to put yourself out there because she wants to be an example for other people. And I've always known Tasha to be somebody who's just so vivacious and energetic and happy and full of joy. And for her to share this story of the struggles that she's had in dealing with some of life's trauma, for lack of a better way of saying it, I think trauma is probably a good word. You're gonna really love hearing this chat that we had with Tasha, and I can't wait to have her back on the show because she's a tremendously strong woman, and I think this talk is going to inspire so many of you. So please sit back and enjoy this interview with Tasha Edwards. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Tasha Edwards, who is one of our, earliest Fitfluential ambassadors, if I'm correct. Do you remember when you joined Fitfluential, Tasha? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks so much. Oh, wow. It's been years.
I remember because whenever I think, that last year, didn't we go out to Under Armour? And it was like, no, that was probably like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. I think that was 2013.
Okay. So longer than that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, time flies when you're having fun. But excited to have you on the show, and thank you for being here. So we will get started. Tasha, you may know the drill, you may not know the drill, but whenever I have a guest on the show for the first time, I always like to ask them so our audience can get to know you and what you're all about. When was it for you that you first became interested or felt the need for leading a fit lifestyle or, you know, getting active or eating healthy or both? When was that for you and why? And then the second part of the question is, you know, when did you really find your fitness? And by that, I mean, you know, kind of find your happy place where, you know, a lot of people, they start off on a fitness journey and it's about punishment and deprivation and they're doing it because they have to lose weight or something. And then they get to that point where they really find their groove and they found something they love to do. I keep thinking of you and some of the pictures in my head of you, you know, leading dance class. And to me, that's like an example of finding your fitness, like doing what you love. Maybe it was Zumba at the time, I'm not sure, but answer the question to that effect. When did you start working out and eating healthier and why? And then secondly, when did you find your fitness? It might have been all at once.
I wish it had been all at once. It might have been easier. toward the end of 2001, I had previously been at my highest 232 pounds. And so I had went through a season of eating disorders, just not wanting to be the big girl anymore, but not really knowing how to change that. And so I had been a dancer and I was trying to get back in the flow. Recently went through a divorce with a small kid and I just didn't know what to do. And so I had lost the weight, but I got back on the scale and I swore to myself I'd never be 200 pounds again. And I remember in December of 2001, I was 195 and I knew I had to change. And the clarifying moment for me was my son was three, close to four at the time, and he ran out in a parking lot. And all I could do was call his name. You know, I was too big to catch him. And I always thought if a car had been coming, my son would be gone. Wow. You know, one of those, like, you have got to get your life together moments. And so in January 2002, I started working out at the YMCA in Nashville where I was living. They had what was called the Open Doors Program. And I don't know that a lot of people know about that or if they still have it. Because I was a single parent, I was able to pay my membership on a sliding scale fee. And so I started doing Slim Fast. It was the only thing I knew. And I lost about 40 pounds in 6 months for working out. And then I got engaged, married, and pregnant in 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And I put it all back on and I fought anorexia again. And we moved to Huntsville in 2004. And I took a job working at the front desk at a gym just to be able to pay for my daughter to go to daycare part time. And I think it was somewhere at the end of 2004 when I was noticing women were just, my job was to just sign them up and have them pay their money. But my master's is in counseling. And so my connection to people is just automatic. And I wanted to do something more for them. And I didn't know what, while I was going through my own struggle. And so I didn't know where I wanted to go. I said, oh, maybe I'll become a yoga trainer or a personal trainer. And my owners discouraged me from doing it. They basically told me it was a waste. They wanted me to sell memberships. And so I went and did it anyway. And so as I started teaching classes and less working at the front desk, I got to spend time with people. And as I spent time with people, I realized their story was my story. And my connection with people pushed me further a little bit to really want to get in debt with people to say, how did you get here? How did we get here? And how do we get out? Because it's more than telling you to do three sets of 15 on a machine.
Yep.
And so 2005, I started just accumulating. I mean, certification after certification, I just wanted to learn and learn and learn. And I do think in 2008, 2007, I missed the email about a Zumba certification. A friend of mine had told me about it. I had just started at a gym and I asked my boss, who I did not know, could I go? And the gym where I was working, the other gym, she told me something like that was not in demand at her club and she let me go.
Seriously?
Yeah. And next thing you know, Zumba blew up and I was teaching classes of 50 and 75, 100 people. And I really think teaching Zumba, being able to connect to people, being that dancer and being able to reach people who didn't find themselves in any other type of fitness is really where I got it. I got it and I was able to give it. And I learned how to connect with people like I had never connected before and to connect with myself. Zumba changed my life. It did. It, the connections that I made and the way that I was able to teach that class, there's been nothing like it.
Do you still do that?
You know, I sort of semi-retired after having so many injuries, but teaching at 31, which is how old I was when I started, is a little different just because the music has changed, the environment has changed, Zumba has changed. So I like to do it as specialty. Like when I first got certified, there was only one other person in Huntsville certified to teach Zumba. So it was new. I mean, very new.
Wow.
Now every other person you meet teaches Zumba. And so I teach a lot of other things, but I like when I teach Zumba, I like for it to be so meaningful. Like I teach community classes in the park for like the city and I teach fundraisers and I like that kind of stuff. So all the people that I have met in the past 11 years come together, you know, it's like a family gathering. So I do still teach and I teach other classes, But that magic, when Zumba was really on the rise, it just can't be duplicated. And I just felt like God had me, I set a standard for that. And then it was time for me to walk away from it because I think I began to idolize it a little bit.
That can happen on so many levels with anything in fitness, you know, when you make it become the overwhelming obsession, you know. And I mean, a lot of what we've been talking about recently with a lot of guests I've had on the show is, you know, how you recognize when you can go from a healthy obsession to an unhealthy obsession in whatever way that is, if it's disordered eating, an eating official, you know, eating disorder, if it's over-exercising, if it's just the fact that, you know, the guest I had on the show just before you, she's like, you know, gotten to the point where I was avoiding social activities. And she's like 22 years old. She's, you know, avoiding social activities because she's worried about eating too much. The first thing in your life should not be how many calories you're eating and whatnot. So that's definitely something to recognize. But yeah, it's funny to watch, you know, since FitFluential started in 2011 and now we're in 2018. I don't want to say trends, but, you know, the ebbs and flows of the business. And, you know, I remember in the early days, it was Beachbody. And then it was, you know, obviously CrossFit was emerging very mainstream in the early years. It still is. I don't want to say that anything's gone away. I just mean, that's what you saw a lot. It was a lot of Beachbody, and then on the other side, CrossFit. And then there was like the whole spinning and Zumba was definitely in there too. And then now it's a lot of Orange Theory. And also, you know what I like is I like seeing more and more people not labeling themselves as one thing or another. A lot more people are dipping their toe in this and they're comfortable with the way that they eat. They're not trying to stick with a dogma of, you know, I'm vegan, I'm yogi, I'm this. It's like, I do this, I do this. And people change and evolve. And that's really the way it should be. So that's been refreshing to see. But we're going to shift gears and kind of go into what we wanted to talk about today, which was, you know, when I reached out to you and we were talking about having you on the show, and for everybody, whenever we have a guest on the show, we always kind of huddle beforehand via email and we decide, you know, what topics we're going to talk about, because a lot of the guests are going to be on the show repeatedly. Some of these guests are going to have ultimately their own show on our network coming up. You know, we're starting to launch that this year as well. Soft, heavy plug. I just did it. But when Tasha wrote to us, she said one of her topics could be, and I'm quoting it, so I'm putting this in Tasha's words, fighting back for your health and wellness when life takes you through hell. And I saw that and I'm like, okay, I like this because I feel certainly like I've had to do just that in my own life. I've had probably the worst year and a half of my life. And I'm okay saying that because I've come out of it transformed so much for the better. It's not been easy, but I had to address my health. My health took a major hit. My business took a hit. My family relationships took a hit. Everything was affected. So tell us what that has meant for you. What's your story? And let's talk about it.
I'll take you to the date and the time. On November 12th, 2015, woke up and my son, it was his 18th birthday. And so I woke up, I was excited, you know, this is the child that I had that I brought into my second marriage. You know, I had been through the ringer with him. I felt like I had finally got to that point that I could celebrate. I mean, I literally couldn't sleep that night. I woke up at 3 a.m. I was trying to go back to sleep. I was trying not to wake him up. And I went to his room and he was gone. And so I have a child who had snuck out of the house before, teenage behavior. And this day I just cried. You know, because my son was smart enough to always beat me before I got up, you know, to get back. And my son had been shot. It is like, I feel my whole body flush. It's been 2.5 years.
I can only imagine.
It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And it was 3.5 hours before I even knew where he had been shot, before I could see him, before I knew anything. You know, it's like there are flashbacks, you know, like I remember I was in my car and I was on the phone with my friend. I said, Jason's missing. And I think I know. And my husband had given me this address and said an 18-year-old was shot at XYZ, which is where, you know, this person that he was hanging out with used to live. And, but it didn't register to me because in my mind, my son's 17. You know? And so I'm getting in a car and I was like, you know, my son's not, he's not home. Jay's not home. And I said, hold on, don't hang up. And the sheriff's department is calling me on the other end. And I remember doing 80 and a 40, you know, it's just, you know, I open this door. My kid has these tubes in his nose. Like it, my life literally stopped. And my son was there for 16 days. He was shot point blank range in the chest.
Oh my God.
And he's lucky. He's blessed. I slept in a recliner for 16 days. I didn't teach that whole time, but there were times that I left him while he was asleep and went and trained clients at 5:30 in the morning because when you're in the fitness profession and you don't work, you don't get paid. But I felt pressured. I also felt pressured because you're the person that gives the encouragement and all that kind of stuff. So I felt like I had to speak these words that I did not feel while my child was being demonized on the news and on social media. My life was everywhere. I was out in public and people were talking about my life, not knowing it was me standing behind them. Huntsville's not that big. My daughter had to go to school in this community. And I basically survived on a vegan diet in the hospital. I basically survived on French fries, Starbucks that people would bring me. Whole Foods had just opened. So people would bring me food from there and anything they could get me to eat, maybe cake. And I gained 8 pounds while my son was in the hospital. And when I went back to teaching, it just didn't. I mean, I couldn't have cared less, like honestly. And over the next couple of years, my body basically went haywire. And so I understood what you said. Like my hormones went crazy. My cortisol levels were out of control. No matter what I did, I was gaining weight. I couldn't sleep. I had anxiety. I didn't want to go to work. I called in more in 2016 than I had in 10 years. And, you know, there were court cases. There was extra stuff. I was on the news all the time and not wanting to go to the gym when your child's face is on 8 televisions. I never knew when something else was going to happen. And it was a lot. It was a lot. And I wasn't sure, honestly, while my son recovered, my son was running hurdles 3.5 months later. Kids are resilient. He's strong. But I didn't recover. I literally, as his mother, who felt like I couldn't protect him, I didn't want to go out in public and face the people who basically saw my son's error that made international news. I could not get my life together with all of my other problems and still deal with the side eyes that my body was changing. I was no longer, and I've had people say that to me, did you used to be more cut? Yeah, I also had a kid that didn't have a bullet in his chest, bullet hole in his chest, you know? And the stress of it, I probably survived 7 months on tall, skinny soy vanilla lattes and protein cookies and Bang energy drinks. Like that was my diet. It was just enough to get out of bed. So my adrenals crashed, just enough to get out of bed. And that was 2015. And on medication, my thyroid just regulated last month.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of things I had to do, Kelly. I had to quit some classes. I had to quit some people. there were some things that I could no longer tolerate because at any point you become aware how quickly life can change, how quickly life can end. And that if they were my last days, I did not want to die doing what I was doing. I had to really commit and be the woman of God that I say I was and really get into the word and really get into a prayer life and ask for help. Just cry out to people and say, please pray for me because I cannot get out of the bed.
That's key. I think that that is, I certainly know, and it looks different for each one of us, right? I mean, obviously our life circumstances look different for each one of us, but, and there's so many points I want to, you know, touch on, but asking for help is key. I mean, I still struggle with this, even if it's asking for help, you need someone to talk to or asking for help because, you know, and sometimes you just have to get real with yourself. Like, is it my pride? Am I too embarrassed to say, you know, whether it's money or advice or an introduction for a job, or, you know, I need help. I can't drive somebody somewhere, my kid to school, and you don't want people to know your life situation. Get over that, because that's one of the biggest lessons I've had to learn is I had to ask for help. And for me, a lot of it was health related. A lot of it was business related, but I realized as a people pleaser, I tend to give and give and give, and I'm always there when people want me to do things for them. And I would get angry inside that people weren't helping me, but they don't know what's going on. And, yeah. And let's get real. I think we all have to realize, like, we wish people were tuning into our, you know, the permutations of our attitude and what's going on, but they're not. And none of us really are. So if you don't ask for help, people don't know. And most people will want to help you if they can. I still remember a dear friend of mine who I know will be listening to this. I won't say her name, but, you know, there have been financial times where I was down to like real, like bare bottoms in my checking account. And I remember her saying to me, and she'd been going through a tough time. And she's like, Kelly, I've got $500 in my savings account. If you need it, it's yours. And I'm like, I hadn't asked, but just to have somebody like that offer, it just touched my heart so much. More people will help you in any way if you just ask them. Did it take a lot for you to get to that point where, like, what do you know, when you look back, do you know why you weren't asking for help before you started?
Some of it is exactly what you said. You're used to being that person. And some of it is ego. I think about the hospital, and it's like I was on automatic pilot. Like, I think about being in the hallway and literally holding people up because they would see him and they would like fall out. And I'm like, he's going to be fine. You know, God's got it. And my girlfriend was there, and she told me, let's go take a walk. I was like, I don't want to take a walk. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm in here with my son. Like, I'm fine, you know? Mm-hmm. And it took me, Kelly, it took me about 3 months before I finally came into the house. And I mean, I was literally throwing stuff. Like, I was out of control before I literally just let myself be emotional about what had happened, because I was too busy supporting people, supporting his classmates, supporting my family, supporting everybody. And yeah, I took a financial hit. I wasn't working a lot of the time, and court dates, hospitals, doctor's visits, and mm-hmm. my classmates, bless their hearts, they know me. Instead of asking me, I started getting money sent to my PayPal account. Like, it was these random deposits, or people would just show up with stuff. They stop asking me because I won't ask people. I feel like I should be able to handle this. It's a pride issue, and it's something that I've had to pray about. It is definitely a pride issue to say, I can help you, but I don't think that you can help me. You know?
It's so true. But it's also, I mean, I know for me in several different areas, you know, I think similarly, I've probably always had the line of thinking in my head of, I can handle this. I can handle this. I've got this. I shouldn't have to ask mom and dad for this. I shouldn't have to ask that person to do this favor. I shouldn't have to, you know, chase that client down to pay their bills. I shouldn't have to. And you can go through all the shouldn'ts in the world, but, you know, shouldn'ts aren't going to pay your mortgage, or, you know, the tax bill that comes around for your company, or whatever. Like, if it's financial, if it's emotional, if it's food, if it's job, whatever it is, you know, you have to get over yourself, and pride can be such a destructive thing. That's an area of my life I'm better at, is just being completely vulnerable and humble and transparent. But I think for me, one of my biggest things is I can still let fear, you know, kind of ease in and affect my judgment and affect things. And the more that you can recognize behaviors in yourself and what's going on, you can change the course. I mean, look at you, Tasha, you had this overwhelmingly life-altering experience with your son. You know, you had the immediate situation of being in the hospital. That can and does happen to so many people. You're in the hospital, you're eating bad food, you're not having sleep. So that's part one. But then you had to deal with the fallout for your son, for yourself, like you said, you know, media coverage. And it sounds like you probably got a different job, and you're calling in sick, and your health is taking a backseat. It's hard to get like to the point where you see that and you see like, this, I can't, how did I get here? Like this can't continue. And I'm guessing you were probably also going, I can't be this, I can't stay here for my son's sake and for my family's sake, but also for my sake. And I think you had said it, this is no way to live. When was that for you? Like, when was that kind of wake up? Like, how long did that time period last? I think you might have said 7 months. Was it about 7 months total that you were in kind of that rut, that bad downward cycle? What was it that made you go, whoa, I've got to get out of this? And how did you ask for help?
It's been a process. I would say after about 6 or 7 months after, I went to therapy. I still have a therapist that I still go to, the same therapist. That was the first step. Mm. I started letting go of classes. That was my next step. I was doing too much. I was still trying to lead the life I led before, and it didn't work. The next step was I started seeing specialists for my medical issues. I had to see what was going on with my body. And once I started seeing a thyroid specialist, I was seeing a holistic pharmacist. I needed tests to know exactly what was going on with my body. Mm-hmm. And for about a year, Kelly, my fitness was just up and down. I was doing enough to survive, honestly. Teach my class, survive. And I think it was toward the end of last year, at like the 2 year mark, that I said, I feel weak and I don't want this. And Jamie Easton is a friend, and I had tried one of her fitness challenges last summer that I did not complete because they were running some tests, and I ended up at the Cancer Institute, and I hadn't told anybody. I ended up at the Cancer Institute. My numbers were high. I was scared to death, and I just gave it up. I was just like, maybe I'm going to die. You know, like, I was just that afraid. Like, my stress just had my entire body flipped out. And so Jamie started had a 12-week challenge this year that started in like January. In January, I said, this is it. Like, this is it. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to fight for this. Mm. And it's the first challenge or anything that I've stuck with since my son was in the hospital. And this time, like you said, tax bills, like I've gotten tax bills I didn't know I was supposed to have. My grandmother has had both of her legs amputated since I've been in this challenge in 12 weeks. And she's facing death like right now, days possibly. My daughter ended up with an injury that put her on crutches, and she's a track runner. You know, she's healthy now, but I mean, so much has happened. But it's the fight, deciding that I know what falling down and staying down felt like. And it was like, I didn't want to surrender my life to circumstances. Like, mm-hmm. It was like, I can't do this again. And whatever it takes for me to get up in the morning, I mean, I go to bed praying, I get up praying. When I have to call my son to say, you know what, he's living, he's breathing, he's doing ministry, he's alive, he's well, my daughter is doing well. Business is okay, but God's going to make a way. You keep getting these opportunities. Get up, keep stepping forward. Just know that your next step is going to be okay. You just have to take the first one. And it's hard, Kelly. It's nothing that I'm saying, oh, this is easy and you should do it too. I'm saying you have to fight for it. I mean, you have to fight every day.
And, you know, I had a friend of mine, and I think this is maybe part that anybody who's gone through really rough times and come out better for it, I think anybody would say this. It's the old adage, right? You are the sum of the top 5 or top 10 people that you surround yourself with. You call it your tribe, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, the truth is, I have been fortunate enough. And like you, you know, you said you had to cut some people out of your life. You said it in your own way. I certainly have had to make a lot of changes. Some of them maybe were made for me, employees, and they're no longer with me, people that I trusted that turned out they're deceitful con artists. And, you know, you're just like, wow. So sometimes that's what I mean. Like, when those people almost remove themselves from your life because you have this aha moment. But then there's some people that you have to choose to no longer have around you and to provide them with the opportunity for input into your life. And, you know, a lot of what you were just saying there at the end, I think of my friend who has been my fitness friend via text and email for as long as I can remember. 10 or 15 years ago, we met in the Body for Life forums online. Her name is Sherry. Sherry, hi, if you're listening. But she's one of the people, and I remember so many times, and I know so many people that are listening, and Tasha, I bet you would say it, so many times in this last year and a half of, I often fondly call the worst year of my life, I would say, I can't take anymore. I don't know how many more days, you know, and I would say my prayers, and I'm like, God, how much more do you have to let happen? When can something turn around? And, you know, and then I would say, and I get angry, and I would, whether I'd be venting to my mom or to this people or this, or my friend Sherry, and I'd be like, that's it, I'm done. Clearly I'm the only person. I remember when it came to fitness and I couldn't get my hormones right. And I don't think I was getting blood work done, but I'd be like, clearly this is it. This is my curse. I have to starve myself. I can't do anything. I can't lose weight. You know, I must be the only one. Screw it. I probably use different language. And I remember Sherry said, what's the alternative, Kelly? Like, is that what you really want to do? Do you just want to pig out and become a fat, really unhealthy person? Is that really what you want? Because there's two paths here. Do you either keep going and assume that somewhere down the line you can get better and you're going to pursue that and know that you're not getting worse, or do you want to get worse? And I was like, well, now that you put it that way, damn. You know? Yeah. But it's true. Back to what you said. You said you've got to keep going and tell yourself it's going to be okay. And it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not going to all get better. But the more you can put one foot in front of the other, metaphorically speaking, you're going in the right direction, because there are one of two directions, giving up and getting worse, or trying to get better. And if you inevitably take those right steps towards getting better, it will work together, and the timeline is going to be different for everybody. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and the accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year, I'm going to live my best life, and then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. You know, obviously you're still in the midst of, and we all are, you know, I mean, life has its peaks and valleys. It has its ups and downs. And, you know, I don't think there's ever like a hard stop for when, oh, okay, my life's all better now, right?
Right.
Just different storms, and you're coming out of it. And it sounds like you're definitely really on the upswing. I definitely feel that way, but I'm still dealing with, you know, some of the last really annoying pieces of that bad year, right? What do you say to people? Because we're hitting our time window for today, but I certainly would love to have you back on the show to keep talking about this. You know, when people that are listening right now are just mired down in really just everything seems to be going wrong in life, marriage problems, job problems, financial problems, because you know, when it rains, it pours, right?
Yeah.
You look around and you're like, I hate my job. My wife or my husband is awful. My kids don't love me. You know, you can look at things, you know, in the context of how you are. But for people that are just mired down and they feel like no hope and they think things are so bad, you know, like, how could I possibly get started? How could I attack my financial issues? How could I get a different job? How could I fix my marriage? We're so far. Like, what do you tell people like that? How do they start? What worked for you?
It was believing in hope. Like, I had to hope in something, you know, and it was finding someone who could speak into my life. And I don't mean like, you know, rainbows and unicorns, like, let's go get a smoothie and life is going to feel great. It was no, you know, it was like, I'm going to get down on the floor with you. I'm going to get down here with you, but we can't stay down here.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stay down here. And it was, you know, when I call my dad and I say, well, how are you doing? And he'll say, God woke me up. I guess I can take it from here, you know? And it's like, you're on this side, you know, there's hope in something, and nothing solved all at once. You know, it's a little bit, knowing that you can give what you have for the day. If I have just a little bit for the day, then I want to give that, knowing that, you know, one seed can grow much.
Mm, so
and
true.
it's that little bit of hope, whatever little bit that I have. I mean, and sometimes, Kelly, when I tell you, it was like a small micro dot, like that was all I had. Mm-hmm. But if that was just enough for me to get to a friend, if it was just enough for me to swing my legs outside of the bed and get dressed, if it was just enough for me to eat, it was a start. It was better than me sitting there sleeping my life away, because that start got me to the next point. And then it got me to the next point. Some days it was a couple hours. Some days it took me weeks to get to the next step. But it's always believing that there's something waiting for me if I take the first step.
That is a key. It's so funny that you brought that up, because my business coach mentioned a book that she recommended, and she used to work at, I hired her from Tony Robbins coaching. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out she left, and she'd been with that organization for like 25 years or something. And she said, this book is one of the books that, you know, Tony Robbins, you know, read. And I mean, it's old as time. I think it's called The Magic of Believing or something. It's a very old book. I got it on Audible first. We'll link up to it in the show notes. But I remember listening to it, and, you know, again, it's not anything like scientific equation to success. It's really about the power of belief. And when I listen to that, again, I listen to the audiobook. I have not read the physical book, but I'd like to, because it was that instrumental in me. And it really woke me up to in the midst of a year of chaos, I listened to that, and I suddenly realized I hadn't believed in anything for mm-hmm. a while, because I'd had such a, excuse my French, shitstorm come into my life, that it was just every day I got up and I'm like, what else am I going to find out today? Who else is going to betray me, lie to me, steal from me, threaten me? What, you know, I was like a joke. I'm like, I'm going to be on Dateline NBC someday talking about all this drama. And it's just, I had such a bad attitude, and I didn't realize how bad my attitude had gotten. I didn't realize how much I was getting up every day, dreading every single thing I was doing for my business, for my health. I didn't believe in anything. I don't want to say that, because my faith is definitely what got me through, even though more of my prayers were like, God, what is, can you hear me up there? Have you put me on hold? Because I'm still here. And I've got issues that were not, of course, I wasn't being that funny, because I was usually pissed off, but I hadn't been believing in my health can get better. I hadn't been believing that I could fix this mess that had happened on several different levels in several different ways with my company and my business. I hadn't been believing that there was a future, like I could have a life again, that I would enjoy life. And I was in transition, and I read that. I listened to that book, and the author gives examples of how when he simply went into his sales meetings, you know, and he said, when I walked in there, absolutely, fundamentally believing in my product, believing that I had the answer and I was going to change this client's life, and believing and just having it changed the way I talked. It changed my energy. And you can hear it in me just in this podcast. When I talk to you and I say, Tasha, you know, this is what I want to do with FitFluential, and I want to help people with their lives. That's like the sincerity that's coming out of me. And you know what? I firmly believe that what I'm doing in this phase of our business is going to change people's lives by educating them. And look what we're doing on this show. We're educating people on, hey, there's people that have been through life storms, but you have to believe. Yeah. And absolutely. That's such a key thing that you said.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 And
you also have to, I'm going to say, you know, I think one of the key things you did is, and it goes back to who you surround yourself with. Now, who you surround yourself with can be what you listen to online, what you pour into yourself, you know, your reading, your prayers, you know, what you're listening to. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be who are the five people you hang out with in your hometown, but just think about that, because it sounds like you had some pretty good people that kind of picked you up and said, look, I'm here to comfort you, and I'm going to let you vent, but we're going to get to work, and it's not going to be sunshine and unicorns and soy lattes. We're going to get to work, and you're not going to like it. It might be painful or whatever, but we're going to change things. So we are kind of wrapping up, but let me ask you that. You know,
if people don't have anybody maybe that's in their life, I, this would be like closing tip from Tasha. And people that are listening, and because I know a lot of people write into us and they're like, well, that's great. I really don't have anybody in my life that gives me anything but negativity and skepticism and discouragement. Do you have any online, I mean, you would be one of them, obviously. There's so many people in the Fitfluential community that are inspiring from a fitness, health, and wellness perspective. But do you have any particular like books or resources that you're like, hey, when I was going through a really tough time, you know, this was what poured in some real inspiration or thought-provoking, you know, trains of thought, if you will, that helped you?
You know, I stuck. There were lots of people that, of course, people that are some ambassadors. I would tell you what I did do. I unfollowed a lot of people who have lots of followers. Hmm. I say people who have all their content looks fake and everything looked perfect all the time. Hmm. Because sometimes it was driving me to feel like that what I was doing wasn't good enough because it was so imperfect. And I unfollowed them.
That's a great point.
Yeah, to see such perfection all the time, it wasn't jealousy. I realized it was driving me nuts. And so people who had real lives and messy pictures and selfies with their hair all over their head or their stuff, you know, when they took selfies, I was like, these are real people. And I was looking at people's words, not just necessarily stuff that would get followers. And I read lots of T.D. Jakes.
I like him.
I read any book that I could get. We have an audio library that you can get for free. I read so many, like I read Max Lucado, Beth Moore, who I love, Priscilla Trier, I read. But I also read books. I read Option B, you know, things like that. Because I wanted to get the business aspects, but I also wanted to know, I thought Option B was better than her first book because after her husband died, her perspective was different. Mm. I really enjoyed it. And Brené Brown is amazing. Rising Strong is amazing.
I have that book, but I haven't read it.
Amazing.
My problem is it's like so many things. I have shiny object syndrome. And I mean, if we go into a bookstore, I will come out and I'll buy 14 books. And it's like, you still have a waiting list. Like I'm looking behind me in my office here and it's like 50% of the books on my bookshelf, maybe not that much, maybe 30% are still like to be read and I keep buying more. But you know, to me, I think that's a good addiction to have is to read because I do read both fiction and business or nonfiction. And Max Lucado is somebody I discovered. I'd heard of him, but I'd never read his books. And there was actually Traveling Light is, I'm looking at some of the books that have really helped me. Traveling Light, Fearless, and You'll Get Through This. And again, that, you know, he's an author for those of you that are listening that has a spiritual perspective. He's a pastor down at a church here. But there we'll also link up to some other books, you know, for those of you that don't prefer to have a spiritual perspective. There's also, you know, a lot of other great authors. For me, Joel Osteen's books always seem to speak to exactly what's going on in my life. And one of the things, I'll say this in closing, because I think it's a good point. And Tasha, I want you to tell people where to find you in a second. But I actually just read this in Joel Osteen's, one of his books, because I do readings out of four books every morning. One of them's like philosophy related, one's just positivity related, one's more spiritual related. And then I do prayer and meditation and that kind of sets the tone for my day. And I was reading this chapter in his book and he's talking about, you know, tough times and how these tough, really awful times in your life prepare you for later in your life. And you might not get it. Like, again, that's the key with faith, whether you're having faith in God or just faith in, you know, if you want to call it the universe or just, you know, the grand scheme of things, having faith is just believing for the future, right? And he was talking about the fact that when he first, I think it was his father died or something, and he had to go through a lawsuit and he was being deposed. And for most people that aren't in the practice of law, like the thought of being arrested or deposed is dramatically intimidating. I mean, it is to me. I would be like, oh my God, like when I got served with papers for my divorce, it was like the most intimidating moment of my life because I'm so scared of getting in trouble. But he said, I went through this deposition, sweating bullets, freaking out, but I got through it. And so then fast forward to later when they were dealing with getting the compact center, he said, then they said, oh, you know, we have to, you know, we've got to deal with this lawsuit. You got to come in for meetings. And he was like, piece of cake. I've been through a deposition.
Right.
And that can, for everyone listening, when you go through a divorce, when you go through the life calamities, like Tasha's talked about, when you go through, you know, open heart surgery and you get past it, you can handle things better in the future. You can also be a tremendous help to so many others. And that's, I get a lot of, that's a lot of value in my life is when I'm able to help people. And even if I'm just private messaging somebody on Instagram and explaining blood work or hypothyroidism, and you get that all the time, I'm sure, Tasha, you've dealt with hormonal issues and we should probably have you back on the show to talk about your experience there. But I bet you get a lot of people that ask you, and then because they know you and trust you and you can share, here's what happened to me. It's like you're impacting their lives because you've been there, you're stronger, you've got it. And you can handle the storms that come because you're better equipped for it. You've been there. Do you agree?
Agreed. Very much so.
Tasha, it's been a pleasure, obviously, having you on the show for the first time. I'd love to have you back on. We'll talk about that offline. But for right now, let everybody know who's listening where they can find you online.
I have a blog that I really need to write more on at hiphealthychick.com. I just talk better. So, but I do plan to get back to blogging once life slows down with my grandma. And so all of my social media handles are Hip Healthy Chick, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I have a Facebook page, which is Hip Healthy Chick. I love Instagram. I'm probably on Instagram more than anything. And I do love those personal messages. And I do respond to everyone who contacts me. And so would love to, especially for people who feel like they just have no one to speak into them, would love to connect with people because we all need a community.
Amen to that. Tasha, this has been so awesome. I took, you know, like 3 pages of notes. So I'll follow up with you to have you back on the show. And obviously for anybody listening, if you have questions that you would like us to address when we have Tasha back on the show, I think we could have you back on the show to talk about your, you know, hypothyroidism seeking, you know, hormonal balance. That's a huge topic we're going to cover this year. I'd love to chat with you about that. And then I just think we could also talk about, you know, again, more of this, how do you deal with life's calamities and tragedies and all the chaos that can happen at any times in our life. Because the more that we put that message out there, the more people are going to be comfortable getting through it. It's never going to be easy, but you can get through it. So this was really great. Thank you so much, Tasha. For everybody listening, if you have questions for Tasha, podcast@fitfluential.com is the email. All the things that we talked about today will be linked up in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. And we hope this episode was helpful and we look forward to seeing you next time on Fit Fluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fit Fluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.